Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We are calling this weather-wise an unsettled Saturday. Stray showers, maybe even a thunderstorm out and about. We've had some showers move through the metro area, and that trend's going to continue. We've got some in the Brainerd Lakes area up toward Hinckley, here in the heart of the Twin Cities. It just, any moment could rain where you are. The heaviest stuff, south of I-90, in the Rochester area all the way down to the Iowa border and moving south. At this time, hopefully it's not raining at Game Fair, final Saturday of Game Fair, and Steve Carney is there, and of course stevecarneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great, Steve. It's really kind of a weird day out here in Game Fair. There's really good participation, a lot of people, and boy, the weather, it'll rain for 20 minutes hard, and then sun comes out, then it gets cold, and I'm glad I'm not fishing today, man. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, it is very unsettled today, but at least it's not hot. One of the things, middle of August, you never know what you're going to get at Game Fair, and over the years, and all the years that great event has been going on, up at Armstrong Kennels in Anoka County is an Armstrong Ranch, is that it can be blazing hot, but not this year, and that's good.
Yeah, it's been a good 5 days so far. Tomorrow's the last day, and I was able to get out on some fishing commitments this week in between and really had a good week. I've been using ice fishing lures this week and vertical jigging, which has been working really well. I've been using jigging rapalas and puppet minnows and any type of spoon, Swedish pimples, doesn't really matter. And I'm marking fish out in, 20 to 25 feet and just dropping it straight down and really working it aggressively. No live bait, but just sweeping it and jigging it and just making it super aggressive. And I'm triggering a lot of good strikes on walleyes and crappies. And it's been really working well this week. And I got a little tip for those out there that are wondering, well, if I drop my bait vertically under the boat, how do I know I'm on the fish? Well, when you go back to the back of your boat, you drop that spoon or that glide bait, you drop it straight down next to your transducer, and you can see that bait on your screen, on your electronics. It'll show up as kind of like zigzag lines, so you know exactly where that bait is. You'll see the fish, and then you'll see your bait right smack in the middle of them, and it's really a reaction type of strike, which you have to do at this time of the year. There's so much food out there, insects, larvae, everything, and they're full. They don't really need to chase anything, but these aggressive ice fishing baits are just triggering those fish to bite. They're not even really feeding, but when it comes in and drops right on their head, they have to hit it. So they've been very successful, and I think that'll continue all the way through September.
And, Steve, it looks like we're going to have another stable week. We get through kind of the mixed bag today, and then we've got another quiet week weather-wise, not real hot, certainly not real cold at night, and stability a good thing right now, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely. Stability is important all year, and the water temperatures are dropping, which is really good. We were 81, almost 82 in a lot of lakes, and now we're looking at 76, 74. So that's a good trend. You really want to see that water cool off a little bit, and that'll continue into the fall. That's why fishing gets so much better when you get into October and November. You know, 50-degree water temperature, they're really on the bite. So we're just trying to, you know, struggle through these tough times of August and early September and, you know, get to the good stuff. But it's going to be a while, and, you know, fishing is not easy. But right now, just get out there, get those ice fishing baits out there, and just start really getting them. I have a pain in my rotator cuff from jigging so hard this week, and that's part of, you know, when you get older, stuff like that happens. So, you know, you recover a day or so and you're fine. But when I'm talking aggressive, I mean just sweeping it high, 3-4 feet, and just keeping it moving. And a lot of these ice fishing baits will continue to move after you jig them. They'll actually go in a circle, and they'll still be active for 5 or 6 seconds after you jig it. So it takes a little practice. Go out there and give it a shot. Be patient, and you'll be very surprised what you catch.
One of the big stories, I'm sure you've heard about it at Game Fair, and there's always a lot of buzz about what's going on with Mille Lacs, but effective Friday, walleye anglers can harvest up to 2 walleye through Saturday, November 30th. Both fish can be in that 18 to 20-inch slot in length, or one can be 18 to 20, and the other must be longer than 28 inches. Steve, what about this? What are you hearing from folks at Game Fair about this big change on Mille Lacs? I know a lot of the guys I work with during the week who love to get out and fish are really talking about, wow, we actually get to keep fish out of Mille Lacs.
Steve, I am so impressed that you've done your homework. That impresses me more than anything. You are on the ball, man. I got to give you credit. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway, yeah, it's. I'm not hearing much buzz about it. I think it's still very much mismanaged. It's turned into just a wonderful smallmouth lake, and the walleyes have been taking second seat. But you talk to the locals, and right now the walleye fishing is as good as it's ever been. But the decision makers are saying it's not. So you still got that, you know, give and take, and we really don't know what the exact, you know, situation is. But again, the locals tell me fishing is great, and I believe that before I believe, you know, any of the statistics that are out there.
Yeah, one of the guys I work with, his family's had a place on Mille Lacs for decades. And he echoes that. We talked about this new reg that went into effect, and it's like last few years, and I said, yeah, the guy I visit with on the radio says the same thing, that, you know, a lot of the locals, a lot of the regulars are saying it's really good. There's a lot of fish in Mille Lacs right now. There's a lot of walleye there.
Yeah, you know, again, I think there's, you know, a little bit of blame for, you know, all the way around. You can't really specifically say it's the DNR or whatever, but you talk to the locals, they're there every day, the cabin people, they know what's going on, and they need to make their input known. And, you know, it's just such a mess. You know, I love that lake, and I started guiding there 30 years ago. I raised my kids on that lake, taught them how to fish, and it breaks my heart when I see this, you know, upheaval of regulations and changing and this and that. And, you know, it's just, it's a tough one, but we're stuck with it. That's the way it is. And you hope that, you know, the people that are making these decisions are doing the right thing. And, yeah, but I think 2 walleyes is better than 1 for sure. So we'll have to see what the harvest levels are and what the creel census are, and then, you know, either make an adjustment. But, you know, we'll know probably after 6-8 months of this new regulation.
All right, Steve, good to visit with you as always, and we'll do it again in 1 week.
Sounds great, Steve. Well, have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, out at Game Fair in Anoka County, a final weekend of that. Game Fair wraps up tomorrow, of course. And by the way, we will have coverage tomorrow. Outdoor News, Rob Dreesline has a show on Sunday between 5 and 6. A little bit later, Twins start. They take on the Rangers, first pitch at 1:35 our time. So it may be an abbreviated Outdoor News show tomorrow with Rob following the Twins until 6 here on News Talk. E3O-WCCO. So folks dodging raindrops today. It goes from, hey, it's a pretty nice day, to, We better head in the house. We had a pretty heavy rain shower here not long ago, and we'll have another update on the radar, but a sneak peek shows widely scattered showers, even a torrential downpour here and there on radar. But once again, very widely scattered. And the real heavy stuff down toward the Iowa border, south of I-90, say between Albert Lee and La Crosse. But up around Mille Lacs, there's pretty good size storm. No severe weather, no watches, no warnings on the board. Nothing to worry about there. But your outdoor activities could be interrupted by a cloudburst on this Saturday. And that chance rain will continue to drop as we go through the night. Sunday looks spectacular. And by the way, state amateur baseball tournament underway. Four towns hosting weekend one. Jordan, Belle Plain, and Green Isle are the main site. Shakopee and the Joe, the wonderful ballpark just off 169 in Shakopee, is hosting. So the 169 corridor southwest of the cities is ground zero for the state amateur baseball tournament. Four games last night, full slate of games today, again tomorrow, weekend one. And then, of course, the B championship is the Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. And then the C championship game is on Labor Day in Jordan this year at the Mini-Met. And I was at the Mini-Met in Jordan for the opener on Friday night of the Class B tournament between Lions Pub from Minneapolis and Newmarket. Lions Pub won it 6-5. A lot of walks in the ball game. I got out of the Mini-Met a little bit later than expected last night, thanks to all the walks, but Lions Pub won it 6-5. And we'll do a deep dive on the state amateur baseball tournament in about 10 minutes. Earlier, the Lynx were on CBS today. They were in Washington and rolled to a 99-83 victory. Nafisa Collier had 30 points to lead the Lynx to a victory, and I visited with Shaletta about this. And they are well on their way to a playoff appearance, and it's been a long year for the Mystics. But the Lynx get it done, so the Olympics are over. They're back at it. And I was thinking about this. Josh Wheeler is our producer on this Saturday. And there's a lot of chatter right now that in 4 years, MLB should shut down and send players to the Olympics. And the Olympic Games in L.A. will be in August. And the purists are saying, oh, you can't do that. I mean, this is blah, 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 blah. Come on. When will the Olympic Games be back in the States? We don't know. They're coming to L.A. You have Dodgers Stadium. You have the Big A. You could play games down at Petco in San Diego. It's not that far. And for that matter, you could have some of the games up in the Bay Area where the Giants play. I don't know the sponsor name for the Giants ballpark right now. Is it Oracle? Used to be AT&T. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But you've got four major league ballparks within a short flight or a reasonable drive in the L.A. area that are major league caliber. I think they should do it. 162-game season, roll it back to a number. Maybe start a little earlier, shorten spring training. But I would be a fan. And let's face it, it's in August. All these players from all these countries playing in the major leagues, the Latin players, the players that were born here in the States, the Canadians, the Japanese, the Koreans, you could have a very nice Olympic tournament in L.A. in 2028. I'm in favor of it. Shut it down for 2 weeks, and let's have a legit best players in the game going at it in the Olympic Games for a gold medal. I think it would be cool.
You know, during the break, we were just talking about some of our favorite heel wrestlers of the past time. It would be a great heel move for Mr. Manfred and MLB to do. I think they should, if they do put baseball in the Olympics, they should play it at the great Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, play some games up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I can just see that. Oh, man, that'll get it'll get baseball on the forefront of the media. It'll get people talking about baseball, and it'll bring it back to the forefront of Americana. No. Do not bring it to L.A. I feel like Dodger Stadium, I've never been there personally, but I know how old that area is and that stadium is. I cannot even see them brushing it up to be this beautiful Olympic ballpark.
You know what's funny about that, though? Everybody who's been to Dodger Stadium, and I was there a number of years ago, they do a good job keeping it up.
Yeah.
Everybody I've talked to has said it's really cool to go to Dodger Stadium. But bigger picture, and I think everyone will say, there's no way the Players Association and the owners are going to shut down their game for 2 weeks in August and allow the players to go to the Olympic Games, especially that the players aren't going to get paid, because everyone would take a haircut. The owners would lose money. The players would lose money. They would want a break on salaries, et cetera. I think it would be a cool addition. I mean, if you can have break dancing in Paris, you can have baseball in the Olympics. Now, I think softball's a done deal, that softball will return to the Olympic Games in L.A. I think softball is played at a very high level here in the United States. I don't know around the world, but we'll see about that. But there's been a great deal of debate on whether or not MLB should send the best, because there has been Olympic baseball, but it's been minor league guys. It's not been the best of the best. Otani, for instance, representing Japan. I think it would sell tickets. I think it would generate a lot of interest, but we'll see.
Well, and it's a worldwide sport. Yeah, I don't even know personally softball. I from someone who's watched a lot of college softball over the last handful of years, especially with Oklahoma, I can tell you it is growing massively in this country, especially on a collegiate level. But I don't know where it stands as far as a worldwide or like a global level with that. But baseball, I just think it's a no-brainer, and I feel like you're basically leaving money on the table with that. But that's just me.
Yeah, it is still dominated by countries in the Western Hemisphere, but it's huge in the Far East, Japan, Korea, very much into baseball. We're seeing major leaguers come out of Australia, etc. So we'll see about that. I know, though, with the Olympic Games wrapping up and LA coming up in 4 years, there's already great interest in tickets and going to the games. And my youngest daughter and I have talked about it, that we're putting it on our list to find a way in the summer of 2028 to find our way in Southern California and actually go to the Olympics. I mean, in reality, this is probably my best shot to go to the Olympics and see one in person. I'm thinking about it, getting on the list, etc. I doubt we'd be able to, say, for instance, see women's gymnastics. But the swimming, once again, is going to be at SoFi Stadium, where the Rams and Chargers play now. We're kind of shooting for that. Can we actually get tickets, get hotels, and get to L.A. and see the Olympics in 2028?
And even with that, too, and I don't know if it's because of the local popularity and the events that were held here over the summer, but I have to ask you this question. Out of all the years that we've watched the Summer Olympics, is this the most attention / media? And I'm not talking about the bronze, the medal controversy. I'm saying, in general, is this the most popular and most attention that gymnastics has gotten, do you think, out of all the years that we've seen it showcased on the big stage?
Yeah, I think with the SUNY Lee connection, for sure. And then right now you have the greatest of all time in Simone Biles competing.
I don't think we've ever seen anything like this with that particular event. For not just Minnesota, I'm talking like global and countrywide attention. I don't think I've heard gymnastics talked about more now than ever. So
It is one of the big three. We've talked about it: track, swimming, and gymnastics, particularly women's gymnastics, are the big events. Basketball, you know, okay, the United States won gold. They should. The United States should win gold in men's and women's basketball. The women's soccer team winning gold medal is good stuff. The men disappoint again on the world stage. This is a recording. But those are the big three. But the fact that the trials were here and people in these parts got a chance to see the greatest of all time, Simone Biles, up close, and, of course, Suni Lee and her great comeback from all that adversity and health problems. Yeah, it is a great story. And I don't regret spending the money to be able to see the trials here. It was really cool. But we're kind of making it a goal 4 years, some way, somehow, get to L.A. My worry is, and no disrespect to judo or fencing, that we'll end up with judo or fencing tickets if we go to L.A. in 2028 for the
game. You never know.
But you know what? I would still appreciate it because I would be at the Olympics. All right, it's 4:31. Quick break. We'll come back. State Amateur Baseball Tournament got started. Kip Kovar will join us from the Herald Journal. He covers this game, the State Amateur Baseball, like no other. He covers these teams. He covers this sport. He knows it as well as anybody. And Kip will join us in a few minutes to get us up to date on this year's tournament. The defending Class C champion is already out of the tournament. Maple Lake is done. We'll have that for you coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. The Minnesota Baseball Association and the 2024 state tournament is underway. Class B, Class C. Four sites on opening weekend. Shakopee helping out on opening weekend. And then, of course, Green Isle, Belle Plaine, and Jordan and the Mini-Met hosting games through Labor Day of this state tournament. And a guy who covers it and covers the sport like nobody else, Kip Kovar from the Herald Journal, joining us, covering all those towns out in Wright County and just doing a yeoman's job covering the sport all season long. Kip, good to visit with you, and here we are, another state tournament at hand.
Absolutely. It's the best time of the year. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and openers on Friday, and the weather didn't particularly cooperate, even though they were able to get all the games in. I was in Jordan at the Mini-Met last night. Lions Pub Warriors beat the New Market Muskies 6-5. New Market, way too many walks and errors in that game, and it cost them dearly. They were eliminated. The other Class B game on Friday night, that was in Shakopee at the Joe. Meesville beat the Minneapolis Mudcats 11-0 in seven innings. And then in Class C action, Waconia rolled over Hanska 10-0. And it was Union Hill beating St. Peter 9-3 in a full slate of games today at all four sites, Kip. And as I mentioned in the tease, the defending champ in Class C has been eliminated, Maple Lake. That's probably the biggest story so far this weekend.
Yeah, so far it just shows how tough it really is, not even just to make this tournament, but once you get here, you're going to get everybody's ace that first two weekends. There's really nothing to hold back, and Maple Lake took down Delano, a team that's been in the top 10, just to get here, and then that kind of just shows how hard this tournament is, that the defending champs who won it all last year didn't even make it out of the first round this year.
Yeah, Farming beat Maple Lake 4-1, so the defending C champs, they won the 100th tournament a year ago in Delano at the Muni, and they are done. So we have some results already and some games in the books. We talked about Friday night, and I'll have the Saturday scores in detail in a moment. But look at this tournament. Look at these towns. Number one, we brought up the Joe and Shakopee helping out on weekend one. Waconia did that duty the last 2 years, but you've got the Mini-Met in Jordan. You've got Belle Plaine and Green Isle hosting this year. And once again, these towns pull out all those stops.
Absolutely. I was in Green Isle last night for the Waconia game and get to that one a lot, being a guy who covers the Crow, and that's a beautiful park. And then got to Belle Plaine this morning, and that one has it's been a while since I've been to that one. It's pretty cool to see all the things they've done with it. You got the ivy on the fences and everything. And now I'm sitting in right field here at the Jordan Mini-Met. And every time I come here, it just kind of moves up on my rankings of ballparks across the state. I've stopped probably 15 different places on the way in here talking to people. I'm like, wow, this would be a great spot to watch a game, and then move on. This is another great spot to watch a game. So looking forward to spending the next few weekends at all these parks.
And this is the final year of this arrangement. I know they moved, they eliminated A year ago. Now this year they have the B and the C. Next year we're going back to A, B, and C. Kip, you follow this very closely. What's the thought there? What's it going to look like in 2025?
Yeah, it's going to be a big change coming. Your Class A that kind of got combined with B is going to go back up to Class A, and then to kind of make it easier, that higher B will go to A, and then that lower B will kind of stay B. And then kind of what you'll see, depending on how the results go this year, is those kind of perennial powerhouses in Class C are going to join B. So the kind of way I look at it is you're going to have your A, which is going to be your highest level kind of players and teams that you're kind of used to in A and B, and then B and C is kind of be more like a high C and a low C to me, where kind of the B is going to be more like Delano's and Jordan's and those kind of perennial powerhouses, and then that C is going to kind of open things up for those teams that maybe make it here once in a while but have been struggling to kind of make it here, and giving them kind of a chance to get the state tournament experience as well.
Yeah, so once again, back to three classes. How do you break this down? I know Maple Lake, the defending champs, they're already gone, but how do you see the C going this year?
Yeah, every time I kind of look at the bracket, there's probably 5 to 10 teams that stick out that have a chance, but then when you really get a kind of look at it, every team after the first weekend, there's probably expands to 15 to 20 teams. I know there's the perennial powerhouses. Jordan's always good, and they're trying to be the first team to win it in their home ballpark in 20 years, and the last time someone did that was Jordan, so they're trying to repeat that feat. You got Young America, who I've seen a lot over the season, just covering them in the Crow River Valley League. They were Class B the last couple years. Actually took St. Louis Park into extra innings last year in the AB state tournament, so they're loaded. They're back in C, and they're kind of on a mission. You got Waconia. You got Bird Island, who made the championship a year ago, and then a bunch of other teams that are kind of looking to put their name in that tier with those teams.
And then ultimately in the B, you've got Air Freight Unlimited. They've got to be the favorite. They've won 2 out of the last 3 years among the big teams from the cities.
Yep, definitely. They still got, I forget the name of that pitcher, but they still have him, I believe. And they were just finishing up here when we were coming in to cover the Carver-Pierce game that's going on right now at the Mini-Met. But you got to think that with those arms and the experience that they have, they're going to be kind of everyone's target to knock out this year.
Yeah, and the key first 2 weekends is to get to that final weekend for sure of the state tournament. Once again, the B championship game is Labor Day weekend, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, and then the C championship game on Labor Day, as is tradition. And this year, once again, doesn't look like we're going to have too much weather trouble. Sunday looks great, and that's always the fingers crossed that you're going to be able to get the games in, particularly on these 3 weekends, because the schedules are so jam-packed.
Yeah, if you're one of those hosts, you're kind of hoping we're a weekend, you get some dry weather, some nice heat maybe even, and then get a little sprinkle throughout the week to kind of get the field back to perfect like you want it. So kind of worked out so far this year, and had a little hiccup in Green Isle. They got hit right before first pitch, but by 8 o'clock we were underway. So the hosts are looking forward to all the fields I've been to already have been looking pretty great, and some good crowds too.
Yeah, and I know, Kip, you would join me. The Minnesota Baseball Association does a great job, but, man, the volunteers in all these communities put in so much work. Shakopee on weekend 1, but you look at the work they've done in Jordan and Belle Plaine and Green Isle. It is a true community effort, the way these towns come together to put this event on.
Absolutely, and it's really cool to see teams that hosted last year, they'll do a shift because Jordan and those guys volunteered at theirs, and then Brown and Gaylord Hutchinson, who host next year, I'm sure they'll have a shift here to kind of get some experience, see how they're running things. So it's always fun. I was a big part of it in 2021, kind of behind the scenes with Waconia, Chaska, and Hamburg, doing some social media and a lot of that stuff for them.
Yep.
And it was cool to kind of see the behind-the-scenes stuff where being just a reporter, you kind of show up, you cover your game, you leave, and just seeing how much work truly goes into it and how much that these guys take pride in their ballparks and hosting a great tournament is a lot of fun to see.
Kip Kovar joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Kip, I've said it before, you do an unbelievable job covering town ball, covering state amateur baseball here in Minnesota. How do people find your work? Because you do a phenomenal job.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days, at Kovar underscore HJ Sports. And then heraldjournal.com will have all our stuff on there for our local teams that we're covering. And then also kind of going forward the next few weekends on the Minnesota Baseball Association website, I'll be doing some writing for them covering both B and C tournaments, and we'll see where it takes us. But that's where you can probably find most of our stuff. And then crvlbaseball.com if you're a Pearl River or Region 7 fan as well.
Yeah, Minnesota Baseball Association.org. is the website. Kip, good to visit with you. Tomorrow I've got all three at the Mini Met in Jordan on NSPN.TV, the official streaming service, so I got a busy day. It's not often I'll do three ball games in a row, but I'm going to try and get it done. I'm going to get my rest tonight and do a little carb loading, and I'll be ready to go to call those three games tomorrow at the Mini Met.
That sounds like a plan. I'll be back here, too, for the Loretto game, so that should be a fun one with the Koski family coming into town.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to it. That'll be the final game of the day in Jordan. Kip, we'll see you then.
All right, appreciate it, Steve.
All right, Kip Kovar covering the state amateur baseball tournament through Labor Day. Great annual event, the 101st year of that tournament. Let's get you some of the scores today. We talked about Friday. The B tournament, St. Anthony beat Chaska 11-6. That is a final. St. Bonnie beat Wanamingo 9-4 in the C, as we mentioned. The Farming Flames beat Maple Lake, the defending C champ, 4-1 today. In B, Hopkins beat Sobieski 5-1. It was Kimball Downing Laverne 10-0 today. Laverne is out. Bemidji beat Litchfield 4-2, another final. Air Freight Unlimited, the defending champs, beat Centennial 6-2. The Champlain Park Low Gators, the team down the street from my neighborhood, they beat the St. Paul Hops 8-2 today. And some games getting underway. Baseball 365 against Moorhead Mudcats in the C. Carver Black Sox against the Piers Brewers. To round out the action on this Saturday in the state amateur baseball tournament. We'll come back. Twins and Rangers, they continue their series down in Arlington. Twins are playing well right now and hanging in there, trailing Cleveland at the moment by three games in the American League Central. We'll have the highlights and more. All the news coming up at 5 here on CCO. I love that one. George Strait. We've got all the news and weather coming up at 5, then more on the Twins. Phil Miller will join us, Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune. Twins playing well right now, and they're keeping pace with the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. At the moment, the Cleveland Guardians, 72-53 games in front of the Minnesota Twins. Twins won their Friday night tilt with the Rangers, the final 4-3, and it was definitely the long ball working for the Twins in the ball game last night down in Arlington, Texas. Pretty impressive. Ryan Jeffers goes deep.
For Ryan Jeffers, who swings and rips one into the left field corner, that ball stays fair, that ball is trouble, and that ball is fair, and that ball is gone. It snuck over that short fence in the left field corner for a screaming line drive home run for Ryan Jeffers.
How about that? Good stuff out of Ryan Jeffers. And then in the fifth, Carlos Santana.
And it swung on and hit well left center field. A long run for Wyatt Langford.
Get up.
Still going, and it's gone. Into the bullpen for a home run. A three-run shot for Carlos Santana, and the Twins vault into the lead. They lead it 4-1.
Yeah, good stuff indeed. Simeon Woods Richardson, another good start. He moved to 4-3. His ERA 3.77. He went five innings in the victory. And the manager, Rob Cobaldelli, talked about Simeon Woods Richardson.
I mean, they had good at bats. I can't sit here and say,
he's had some great starts. I can't say it's been one of that was one of his best starts, although it's a winning effort. I mean, you'd never complain about a winning effort. He didn't fold. He made some pitches when he needed to. And sometimes, just sometimes, you're allowed to win a game when the other team hits some balls hard, you know? We've sat here a few times saying, man, you know, we hit a dozen balls on the barrel all over the place, and we lose. That's part of our game. And the goal is to hit the ball hard and hit line drives and barrel them up. And more times than not, it's going to work out. But today, we still found ways to hold them to just a few runs. They're a good offense, and we made some good defensive plays, too, to help our cause, which matters.
So, good stuff. Twins win two tight ball games, 3-2 on Thursday, and then 4-3 on Friday. Bullpen chipping in as well. Twins and Rangers back at it tonight. Our lineup card coming up at 5:30 today. Festa on the mound for the Twins, and we will talk more about the home nine with Phil Miller from the Star Tribune coming up after the news and weather at 5. We'll have a rundown of the Major League standings and scoreboard and a sneak peek at that lineup before we turn it over to the Treasure Island Baseball Network here on CCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We are calling this, weather-wise, an unsettled Saturday. Stray showers, maybe even a thunderstorm out and about. We've had some showers move through the metro area. And that trend's going to continue. We've got some in the Brainerd Lakes area up toward Hinckley, here in the heart of the Twin Cities. It just, any moment could rain where you are. The heaviest stuff, south of I-90, in the Rochester area all the way down to the Iowa border and moving south at this time. Hopefully it's not raining at Game Fair, final Saturday of Game Fair, and Steve Carney is there. And, of course, Steve Carney, Outdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great, Steve. It's really kind of a weird day out here in Game Fair. There's really good participation, a lot of people, and boy, the weather, it's just, it'll rain for 20 minutes hard, and then sun comes out, then it gets cold, and I'm glad I'm not fishing today, man. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, it is very unsettled today, but at least it's not hot. One of the things, middle of August, you never know what you're going to get at Game Fair, and over the years, and all the years that great event has been going on, up at Armstrong Kennels in Anoka County, is at Armstrong Ranch, is that it can be blazing hot, but not this year, and that's good.
Yeah, it's been a good 5 days so far. Tomorrow's the last day, and I was able to get out on some fishing commitments this week in between and really had a good week. I've been using ice fishing lures this week and vertical jigging, which has been working really well. I've been using jigging rapalas and puppet minnows and any type of spoon, Swedish pimples, doesn't really matter. And I'm marking fish out in, you know, 20 to 25 feet and just dropping it straight down and really working it aggressively. No live bait, but just sweeping it and jigging it and just making it super aggressive. And I'm triggering a lot of good strikes on walleyes and crappies. And it's been really working well this week. And I got a little tip for those out there that are wondering, well, if I drop my bait vertically under the boat, how do I know I'm on the fish? Well, when you go back to the back of your boat, you drop that spoon or that glide bait, you drop it straight down next to your transducer, and you can see that bait on your screen, on your electronics. It'll show up as kind of like zigzag lines, so you know exactly where that bait is. You'll see the fish, and then you'll see your bait right smack in the middle of them, and it's really a reaction type of strike, which you have to do at this time of the year. There's so much food out there, insects, larvae, everything, and they're full. They don't really need to chase anything, but these aggressive ice fishing baits are just triggering those fish to bite. They're not even really feeding, but when it comes in and drops right on their head, they have to hit it. So they've been very successful, and I think that'll continue all the way through September.
And, Steve, it looks like we're going to have another stable week. We get through kind of the mixed bag today, and then we've got another quiet week weather-wise. Not real hot, certainly not real cold at night, and stability a good thing right now, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely. Stability is important all year, and the water temperatures are dropping, which is really good. We were 81, almost 82 in a lot of lakes, and now we're looking at 76, 74. So that's a good trend. You really want to see that water cool off a little bit, and that'll continue into the fall. That's why fishing gets so much better when you get into October and November. You know, 50-degree water temperature, they're really on the bite. So we're just trying to, you know, struggle through these tough times of August and early September and, you know, get to the good stuff. But it's going to be a while, and, you know, fishing is not easy. But right now, just get out there, get those ice fishing baits out there, and just start really getting them. I have a pain in my rotator cuff from jigging so hard this week, and that's part of, you know, when you get older, stuff like that happens. So, you know, you recover a day or so and you're fine. But when I'm talking aggressive, I mean just sweeping it high, 3-4 feet, and just keeping it moving. And a lot of these ice fishing baits will continue to move after you jig them. They'll actually go in a circle, and they'll still be active for 5 or 6 seconds after you jig it. So takes a little practice. Go out there and give it a shot. Be patient, and you'll be very surprised what you catch.
One of the big stories, I'm sure you've heard about it at Game Fair, and there's always a lot of buzz about what's going on with Mille Lacs, but effective Friday, walleye anglers can harvest up to 2 walleye through Saturday, November 30th. Both fish can be in that 18 to 20-inch slot in length, or one can be 18 to 20, and the other must be longer than 28 inches. Steve, what about this? What are you hearing from folks at Game Fair about this big change on Mille Lacs? I know a lot of the guys I work with during the week who love to get out and fish are really talking about, wow, we actually get to keep fish out of Mille Lacs.
Steve, I am so impressed that you've done your homework. That impresses me more than anything. You are on the ball, man. I got to give you credit. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway, yeah, it's. I'm not hearing much buzz about it. I think it's still very much mismanaged. It's turned into just a wonderful smallmouth lake, and the walleyes have been taking second seat. But you talk to the locals, and right now the walleye fishing is as good as it's ever been. But the decision makers are saying it's not. So you still got that, you know, give and take, and we really don't know what the exact, you know, situation is. But again, the locals tell me fishing is great, and I believe that before I believe, you know, any of the statistics that are out there.
Yeah, one of the guys I work with, his family's had a place on Mille Lacs for decades, and he echoes that. We talked about this new reg that went into effect, and it's like last few years, and I said, yeah, the guy I visit with on the radio says the same thing, that, you know, a lot of the locals, a lot of the regulars are saying it's really good. There's a lot of fish in Mille Lacs right now. There's a lot of walleye there.
Yeah, you know, again, I think there's, you know, a little bit of blame for, you know, all the way around. You can't really specifically say it's the DNR or whatever, but you talk to the locals, they're there every day, the cabin people, they know what's going on, and they need to make their input known. And, you know, it's just such a mess. You know, I love that lake, and I started guiding there 30 years ago. I raised my kids on that lake, taught them how to fish, and it breaks my heart when I see this, you know, upheaval of regulations and changing and this and that. And, you know, it's just, it's a tough one, but we're stuck with it. That's the way it is. And you hope that, you know, the people that are making these decisions are doing the right thing. And, yeah, but I think two walleyes is better than one for sure. So we'll have to see what the harvest levels are and what the creel census are, and then, you know, either make an adjustment. But, you know, we'll know probably after 6-8 months of this new regulation.
All right, Steve, good to visit with you as always, and we'll do it again in 1 week.
Sounds great, Steve. Well, have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Carney, out at Game Fair in Anoka County. A final weekend of that. Game Fair wraps up tomorrow, of course. And, by the way, we will have coverage tomorrow. Outdoor News, Rob Dreisline has a show on Sunday between 5 and 6. A little bit later, Twins start. They take on the Rangers. First pitch at 1:35 our time. So it may be an abbreviated Outdoor News show tomorrow with Rob following the Twins until 6 here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. So folks dodging raindrops today. It goes from, hey, it's a pretty nice day, to we better head in the house. We had a pretty heavy rain shower here not long ago, and we'll have another update on the radar, but a sneak peek shows widely scattered showers, even a torrential downpour here and there on radar. But once again, very widely scattered, and the real heavy stuff down toward the Iowa border, south of I-90, say between Albert Lea and La Crosse. But up around Mille Lacs, there's pretty good size storm. No severe weather, no watches, no warnings on the board. Nothing to worry about there. But your outdoor activities could be interrupted by a cloudburst on this Saturday. And that chance of rain will continue to drop as we go through the night. Sunday looks spectacular. And by the way, state amateur baseball tournament underway. Ford Towns hosting weekend one. Jordan, Belle Plaine, and Green Isle are the main site. Shakopee and the Joe, the wonderful ballpark just off 169 in Shakopee, is hosting. So the 169 corridor southwest of the cities is ground zero for the state amateur baseball tournament. Four games last night, full slate of games today, again tomorrow, weekend one. And then, of course, the B championship is the Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. And then the C championship game is on Labor Day in Jordan this year at the Mini-Met. And I was at the Mini-Met in Jordan for the opener on Friday night of the Class B tournament between Lions Pub from Minneapolis and Newmarket. Lions Pub won it 6-5. A lot of walks in the ball game. I got out of the mini mat a little bit later than expected last night, thanks to all the walks, but Lions Pub won it 6-5. And we'll do a deep dive on the state amateur baseball tournament in about 10 minutes. Earlier, the Lynx were on CBS today. They were in Washington and rolled to a 99-83 victory. Nafees Collier had 30 points to lead the Lynx to a victory, and I visited with Shaletta about this. And they are well on their way to a playoff appearance, and it's been a long year for the Mystics. But the Lynx get it done, so the Olympics are over. They're back at it. And I was thinking about this. Josh Wheeler is our producer on this Saturday. And there's a lot of chatter right now that in 4 years, MLB should shut down and send players to the Olympics. And the Olympic Games in L.A. will be in August. And the purists are saying, oh, you can't do that. I mean, this is blah, 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 blah. Come on. When will the Olympic Games be back in the States? We don't know. They're coming to L.A. You have Dodgers Stadium. You have the Big A. You could play games down at Petco in San Diego. It's not that far. And for that matter, you could have some of the games up in the Bay Area where the Giants play. I don't know the sponsor name for the Giants ballpark right now. Is it Oracle? Used to be AT&T. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But you've got four major league ballparks within a short flight or a reasonable drive in the L.A. area that are major league caliber. I think they should do it. 162-game season, roll it back to a number, maybe start a little earlier, shorten spring training. But I would be a fan. And let's face it, it's in August. All these players from all these countries playing in the major leagues, the Latin players, the players that were born here in the States, the Canadians, the Japanese, the Koreans, you could have a very nice Olympic tournament in L.A. in 2028. I'm in favor of it. Shut it down for 2 weeks, and let's have a legit best players in the game going at it in the Olympic Games for a gold medal. I think it would be cool.
You know, during the break, we were just talking about some of our favorite heel wrestlers of the past time. It'll be a great heel move for Mr. Manfred and MLB to do. I think they should, if they do put baseball in the Olympics, they should play it at the great Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, play some games up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I can just see that just, oh, man, it'll get baseball on the forefront of the media. It'll get people talking about baseball, and it'll bring it back to the forefront of Americana. No. First of all, do not bring it to L.A. I feel like Dodger Stadium, I've never been there personally, but I know how old that area is and that stadium is. I cannot even see them brushing it up to be this beautiful Olympic ballpark.
You know what's funny about that, though? Everybody who's been to Dodger Stadium, and I was there a number of years ago, they do a good job keeping it up. And
yeah.
Everybody I've talked to has said, it's really cool to go to Dodger Stadium, but bigger picture. And I think everyone will say, there's no way the Players Association and the owners are going to shut down their game for 2 weeks in August and allow the players to go to the Olympic Games, especially that the players aren't going to get paid because everyone would take a haircut. The owners would lose money. The players would lose money. They would want a break on salaries, etc. I think it would be a cool addition. I mean, if you can have breakdancing in Paris, you can have baseball in the Olympics. Now, I think softball is a done deal, that softball will return to the Olympic Games in L.A. And I think softball is played at a very high level here in the United States. I don't know around the world, but we'll see about that. But there's been a great deal of debate on whether or not MLB should send the best, because there has been Olympic baseball, but it's been minor league guys. It's not been the best of the best. Otani, for instance, representing Japan. I think it would sell tickets. I think it would generate a lot of interest, but we'll see.
Well, and it's just it's a worldwide sport. Yeah, I don't even know personally softball. I from someone who's watched a lot of college softball over the last handful of years, especially with Oklahoma, I can tell you it is growing massively in this country, especially on a collegiate level. But yeah, I don't know where it stands as far as a worldwide or like a global level with that. But baseball, I just think it's a no-brainer, and I feel like it's you're basically leaving money on the table with that. But that's just me.
Yeah, it is still dominated by countries in the Western Hemisphere, but it's huge in the Far East, Japan, Korea, very much into baseball. We're seeing major leaguers come out of Australia, etc. So we'll see about that. I know, though, with the Olympic Games wrapping up and LA coming up in 4 years, there's already great interest in tickets and going to the games. And my youngest daughter and I have talked about it, that we're putting it on our list to find a way in the summer of 2028 to find our way in Southern California and actually go to the Olympics. I mean, in reality, this is probably my best shot to go to the Olympics and see one in person. I'm thinking about it. Getting on the list, etc. I doubt we'd be able to say, for instance, see women's gymnastics. But the swimming, once again, is going to be at SoFi Stadium where the Rams and Chargers play now. We're kind of shooting for that. Can we actually get tickets, get hotels, and get to L.A. and see the Olympics in 2028?
And even with that, too, and I don't know if it's because of the local popularity and the events that were held here over the summer, but I have to ask you this question. Out of all the years that we've watched the Summer Olympics, is this the most attention / media? Not, and I'm not talking about the bronze, the medal controversy. I'm saying, in general, is this the most popular and most attention that gymnastics has gotten, do you think, out of all the years that we've seen it showcased on the big stage?
Yeah, I think with the SUNY Lee connection, for sure. And then right now you have the greatest of all time in Simone Biles competing.
I don't think we've ever seen anything like this with that particular event. For not just Minnesota, I'm talking like global and countrywide attention. I don't think I've heard gymnastics talked about more now than ever. So
It is one of the big three. We've talked about it: track, swimming, and gymnastics, particularly women's gymnastics, are the big events. Basketball, the United States won gold. They should. The United States should win gold in men's and women's basketball. The women's soccer team winning gold medal is good stuff. The men disappoint again on the world stage. This is a recording. Those are the big three. But the fact that the trials were here and people in these parts got a chance to see the greatest of all time, Simone Biles, up close, and, of course, SUNY Lee and her great comeback from all that adversity and health problems. Yeah, it is a great story. And I don't regret spending the money to be able to see the trials here. It was really cool. But we're kind of making it a goal 4 years, some way, somehow, get to L.A. My worry is, and no disrespect to judo or fencing, that we'll end up with judo or fencing tickets if we go to L.A. in 2028 for the
game. You never know.
But you know what? I would still appreciate it because I would be at the Olympics. All right, it's 4:31. Quick break. We'll come back. State Amateur Baseball Tournament got started. Kip Kovar will join us from the Herald Journal. He covers this game, the State Amateur Baseball, like no other. He covers these teams. He covers this sport. He knows it as well as anybody, and Kip will join us in a few minutes to get us up to date on this year's tournament. The defending Class C champion is already out of the tournament. Maple Lake is done. We'll have that for you coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. The Minnesota Baseball Association and the 2024 state tournament is underway. Class B, Class C, four sites on opening weekend. Shakopee helping out on opening weekend. And then, of course, Green Isle, Belle Plaine, and Jordan and the Mini-Met hosting games through Labor Day. This state tournament, and a guy who covers it and covers the sport like nobody else. Kip Kovar from the Herald Journal joining us, covering all those towns out in Wright County, and just doing a yeoman's job covering the sport all season long. Kip, good to visit with you, and here we are, another state tournament at hand.
Absolutely. It's the best time of the year. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and openers on Friday, and the weather didn't particularly cooperate, even though they were able to get all the games in. I was in Jordan at the Mini Met last night. Lions Pub Warriors beat the New Market Muskies 6-5. New Market, way too many walks and errors in that game, and it cost them dearly. They were eliminated. The other QSP game on Friday night, that was in Shakopee at the Joe. Meesville beat the Minneapolis Mudcats 11-0 in seven innings. And then in Class C action, Waconia rolled over Hanska 10-0. And it was Union Hill beating St. Peter 9-3 in a full slate of games today at all four sites, Kip. And as I mentioned in the tease, the defending champ in Class C has been eliminated, Maple Lake. That's probably the biggest story so far this weekend.
Yeah, so far it just shows how tough it really is, not even just to make this tournament, but once you get here, you're going to get everybody's ace that first two weekends. There's really nothing to hold back, and Maple Lake took down Delano, a team that's been in the top 10 just to get here, and then that kind of just shows how hard this tournament is, that the defending champs who won it all last year didn't even make it out of the first round this year.
Yeah, Farming beat Maple Lake 4-1, so the defending C champs, they won the 100th tournament a year ago in Delano at the Muni, and they are done. So we have some results already and some games in the books. We talked about Friday night, and I'll have the Saturday scores in detail in a moment. But look at this tournament. Look at these towns. Number one, we brought up the Joe and Shakopee helping out on weekend one. Waconia did that duty the last 2 years, but you've got the Mini Met in Jordan, you've got Belle Plaine and Green Isle hosting this year, and once again these towns pull out all those stops.
Absolutely. I was in Green Isle last night for the Waconia game and get to that one a lot, being a guy who covers the Crow, and that's a beautiful park. And then got to Belle Plaine this morning, and that one has been a while since I've been to that one. It's pretty cool to see all the things they've done with it. You got the ivy on the fences and everything, and now I'm sitting in right field here at the Jordan Mini Met, and every time I come here it just kind of moves up on my rankings of ballparks across the state. I've stopped probably 15 different places on the way in here talking to people. I'm like, wow, this would be a great spot to watch a game, and then move on, this is another great spot to watch a game. So looking forward to spending the next few weekends at all these parks.
And this is the final year of this arrangement. I know they moved, they eliminated A year ago. Now this year they have the B and the C. Next year we're going back to A, B, and C. Kip, you follow this very closely. What's the thought there? What's it going to look like in 2025?
Yeah, it's going to be a big change coming. You're at your Class A that kind of got combined with B is going to go back up to Class A, and then to kind of make it easier, that higher B will go to A, and then that lower B will kind of stay B. And then kind of what you'll see, depending on how the results go this year, is those kind of perennial powerhouses in Class C are going to join B. So the kind of way I look at it is you're going to have your A, which is going to be your highest level kind of players and teams that you're kind of used to in A and B. And then B and C is kind of be more like a high C and a low C to me, where kind of the B is going to be more like Delano's and Jordan's and those kind of perennial powerhouses, and then that C's kind of open things up for those teams that maybe make it here once in a while but have been struggling to kind of make it here, and giving them kind of a chance to get the state tournament experience as well.
Yeah, so once again, back to three classes. How do you break this down? I know Maple Lake, the defending champs, they're already gone, but how do you see the C going this year?
Yeah, every time I kind of look at the bracket, there's probably 5 to 10 teams that stick out that have a chance. But then when you really get a kind of look at it, every team after the first weekend, there's probably expands to 15 to 20 teams. I know there's the perennial powerhouses. Jordan's always good, and they're trying to be the first team to win it in their home ballpark in 20 years. And the last time someone did that was Jordan, so they're trying to repeat that feat. You got Young America, who I've seen a lot over the season, just covering them in the Crow River Valley League. They were Class B the last couple years. Actually took St. Louis Park into extra innings last year in the AB State Tournament. So they're loaded. They're back in C, and they're kind of on a mission. You got Waconia. You got Bird Island, who made the championship a year ago, and then a bunch of other teams that are kind of looking to put their name in that tier with those teams.
And then ultimately in the B, you've got Air Freight Unlimited. They've got to be the favorite. They've won two out of the last 3 years among the big teams from the cities.
Yep, definitely. They still got, I forget the name of that pitcher, but they still have him, I believe. And they were just finishing up here when we were coming in to cover the Carver-Pierce game that's going on right now at the Mini-Met. But you got to think that with those arms and the experience that they have, they're going to be kind of everyone's target to knock out this year.
Yeah, and the key first two weekends is to get to that final weekend for sure of the state tournament. Once again, the B championship game is Labor Day weekend, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, and then the C championship game on Labor Day, as is tradition. And this year, once again, doesn't look like we're going to have too much weather trouble. Sunday looks great. And that's always the fingers crossed that you're going to be able to get the games in, particularly on these three weekends, because the schedules are so jam-packed.
Yeah, if you're one of those hosts, you're kind of hoping we're a weekend, you get some dry weather, some nice heat maybe even, and then get a little sprinkle throughout the week to kind of get the field back to perfect like you want it. So kind of worked out so far this year, and had a little hiccup in Green Isle. They got hit right before first pitch, but by 8 o'clock we were underway. So the hosts are looking forward to all the fields I've been to already have been looking pretty great, and some good crowds too.
Yeah, and I know, Kip, you would join me. The Minnesota Baseball Association does a great job, but, man, the volunteers in all these communities put in so much work. Shakopee on weekend one, but you look at the work they've done in Jordan and Belle Plaine and Green Isle. It is a true community effort, the way these towns come together to put this event on.
Absolutely, and it's really cool to see teams that hosted last year. They'll do a shift because Jordan and those guys volunteered at theirs, and then Broughton, Gaylord, Hutchinson, who hosts next year, I'm sure they'll have a shift here to kind of get some experience, see how they're running things. So it's always fun. I was a big part of it in 2021, kind of behind the scenes with Waconia, Chaska, and Hamburg, doing some social media and a lot of that stuff for them.
Yep.
And it was cool to kind of see the behind-the-scenes stuff where, being just a reporter, you kind of show up, you cover your game, you leave, and just seeing how much work truly goes into it and how much that these guys take pride in their ballparks and hosting a great tournament is a lot of fun to see.
Kip Kovar joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Kip, I've said it before, you do an unbelievable job covering town ball, covering state amateur baseball here in Minnesota. How do people find your work? Because you do a phenomenal job.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days, at @Kovar_HJSports. And then heraldjournal.com will have all our stuff on there for our local teams that we're covering. And then also kind of going forward the next few weekends on the Minnesota Baseball Association website, I'll be doing some writing for them covering both B and C tournaments, and we'll see where it takes us. But that's where you can probably find most of our stuff. And then crvlbaseball.com if you're a Pearl River or Region 7 fan as well.
Yeah, Minnesota Baseball Association.org is the website. Kip, good to visit with you. Tomorrow I've got all three at the Mini Met in Jordan on NSPN.TV, the official streaming service, so I got a busy day. It's not often I'll do three ball games in a row, but I'm going to try and get it done. I'm going to get my rest tonight and do a little carb loading, and I'll be ready to go to call those three games tomorrow at the Mini Met.
That sounds like a plan. I'll be back here, too, for the Loretto game, so that should be a fun one with the Koski family coming into town.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to it. That'll be the final game of the day in Jordan. Kip, we'll see you then.
All right, appreciate it, Steve.
All right, Kip Kovar covering the state amateur baseball tournament through Labor Day. Great annual event, the 101st year of that tournament. Let's get you some of the scores today. We talked about Friday. The B tournament, St. Anthony beat Chaska 11-6. That is a final. St. Bonnie beat Wanamingo 9-4 in the C. As we mentioned, the Farming Flames beat Maple Lake, the defending C champ, 4-1 today. In B, Hopkins beat Sobieski 5-1. It was Kimball Downing Laverne 10-0 today. Laverne is out. Bemidji beat Litchfield 4-2, another final. Air Freight Unlimited, the defending champs, beat Centennial 6-2. the Champlain Park Low Gators, the team down the street from my neighborhood, they beat the St. Paul Hops 8-2 today. And some games getting underway. Baseball 365 against the Moorhead Mudcats in the C. Carver Black Sox against the Piers Brewers to round out the action on this Saturday in the state amateur baseball tournament. We'll come back. Twins and Rangers, they continue their series down in Arlington. Twins are playing well right now and hanging in there, trailing Cleveland at the moment by 3 games in the American League Central. We'll have the highlights and more. All the news coming up at 5 here on CCO. I love that one. George Strait. We've got all the news and weather coming up at 5, then more on the Twins. Phil Miller will join us. Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune. Twins playing well right now, and they're keeping pace with the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central at the moment. The Cleveland Guardians, 72-53, games in front of the Minnesota Twins. Twins won their Friday night tilt with the Rangers, the final 4-3, and it was definitely the long ball working for the Twins in the ballgame last night down in Arlington, Texas. Pretty impressive. Ryan Jeffers goes deep.
For Ryan Jeffers, who swings and rips one into the left field corner, that ball stays fair, that ball is trouble, and that ball is fair, and that ball is gone. It snuck over that short fence in the left field corner for a screaming line drive home run for Ryan Jeffers.
How about that? Good stuff out of Ryan Jeffers. And then in the fifth, Carlos Santana.
And it swung on and hit well left center field. A long run for Wyatt Langford.
Get up.
Still going, and it's gone. Into the bullpen for a home run. A 3-run shot for Carlos Santana, and the Twins vault into the lead. They lead it 4-1.
Yeah, good stuff indeed. Simeon Woods Richardson, another good start. He moved to 4-3. His ERA 3.77. He went 5 innings in the victory. And the manager, Rod Cobaldelli, talked about Simeon Woods Richardson.
I mean, they had good at bats. I can't sit here and say he's had some great starts. I can't say it's been one of that was one of his best starts, although it's a winning effort. I mean, you'd never complain about a winning effort. He didn't fold. He made some pitches when he needed to. And sometimes, just sometimes, you're allowed to win a game when the other team hits some balls hard, you know? We've sat here a few times saying, man, you know, we hit a dozen balls on the barrel all over the place, and we lose. That's part of our game. And the goal is to hit the ball hard. And hit line drives and barrel them up, and more times than not, it's going to work out. But today, we still found ways to hold them to just a few runs. They're a good offense, and we made some good defensive plays too to help our cause, which matters.
So, good stuff. Twins win 2 tight ball games, 3-2 on Thursday, and then 4-3 on Friday. Bullpen chipping in as well. Twins and Rangers back at it tonight. Our lineup card coming up at 5:30 today. Festa on the mound for the Twins, and we will talk more about the home nine with Phil Miller from the Star Tribune coming up after the news and weather at 5. We'll have a rundown of the Major League standings and scoreboard and a sneak peek at that lineup before we turn it over to the Treasure Island Baseball Network here on CCO.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.